Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Today on The Grave Talks, Haunted New Harmony. Once the site of two utopian societies, New Harmony, Indiana today is now a sleepy community, home to roughly 800 souls, if you only count the living. But that's the thing about New Harmony. You need to count the dead, as they are just as active. Nearly every building in town is very much a home to both current and previous residents. Many still continuing on with their goal of creating a perfect utopian society. Are these spirits happy with how the town has transitioned over the years? Or are they restless and frustrated with generations that have come after them? Join us as today we talk with Joni Mahan about Haunted New Harmony.
Well, I had grown up in the area in my youth and ended up moving to Massachusetts, and I spent 30 years there. But I really felt a pull to come back. After my children left the nest and I had more free time, I ended up making the decision to move back to southern Indiana. And it was kind of strange because I never lived in New Harmony before this. It was a town I was aware of and admired, but when I came back, I really had a very strong pull to come here, and I was very adamant. People were helping me look for houses, and I was not interested in any other town. New Harmony, it was New Harmony or nothing, and I'm glad. I see kind of sometimes things work out for reason, and I kind of see that now that I'm here because it's been a wonderful move for me.
So what did you know of New Harmony when you moved there, having been in the area a bit, but what was your knowledge of the town?
Well, I knew it was a historic town and that it was a site of two former utopian societies. It just had a very quaint aura to it that I really loved. And I think as a child, I was more intrigued by the things like the labyrinth. We have two labyrinths in town, and just how old and beautiful all the buildings are. But as I grew older, everything else seemed to resonate with me. New Harmony seems to be a very spiritual community, and it's so diverse with all the offerings. There's art, history, music, antique shopping. It's a golf cart community, so people ride their golf carts around. It's like stepping back into time in some ways, and that really resonated with me and as an adult.
What was your first inkling or sign that there was spiritual activity in terms of ghosts on a higher level in New Harmony?
Well, I'll start this off by saying I am a sensitive, borderlining on mediumship. I have been feeling the presence of ghosts since I was a child. And as I finally embrace this ability, it's become stronger. It's like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it becomes. So during my time in Massachusetts, I started investigating the paranormal and then started also embracing my gifts and trying to work with them. And through that process, I ended up writing 16 books at that point on the paranormal. So I became pretty well versed in it and active in investigations. And when I moved to New Harmony, I was just really blown away by how many ghosts there were. As I walked around exploring the town, I would go into a store and there would be a ghost, maybe two, maybe three. I'd go into the next store and I'd feel it there. I'd go into some of the old state-owned buildings and would discover something in that building as well. And I have spent time all over Massachusetts, including Salem, and I've never felt a town that has more of a condensed haunting than New Harmony. So I really began, it got my curiosity aroused. So I began talking to people and asking them about the stories and learned that there are so many ghost stories that have been circulating through town for a century. The first ghost story happened in 1868, and people have been passing these stories down, and I thought, wow, this is kind of interesting. So I started really researching it and talking to as many people as I could. I spent a lot of time down at Working Men's Institute, which is our local library, and that's when I decided to write my book, Haunted New Harmony, because I really wanted to get all these stories together and then also investigate them a little deeper, you know, to the point where I pulled town maps and I read a lot of very old books about New Harmony and pulled that information. So I wanted to find out, not only is the building haunted, but who do we think haunts it and why do we think they haunt it? So it was a very interesting process.
And I want to get into learning about some of the specific hauntings, but more on a broader scale question, I guess I would ask. Why do you think it is, or what have you found as to why it is such a condensed haunting of a town in the way that it is in New Harmony?
Well, I really think it goes back to the utopian society. New Harmony was founded in 1814 by a German Lutheran separatist who wanted to do his own thing. And so he bought 27,000 acres along the Wabash River and moved his followers here and basically set up this town. They functioned for 10 years before they decided to move further east, and they sold the town lock, stock, and barrel to someone with his own idea of what utopia looked like. And he was a Welsh social reformer named Robert Owen, and his idea of utopia revolved around education, social experiments, equality. So he had a far different version of utopia. He only lasted 2 years. His ideas were great, and some of them lived on, but his planning wasn't as effective. And the town eventually just kind of came to be a sleepy Midwestern town. But over the years, and I've especially noticed it in the 2.5 years that I've been here, that people love this town. They love it more than any other town I've ever seen. People come with their own vision of what utopia looks like. And some people feel that it's there's a lot of antique stores. They feel it's about the antiques. Other people feel it's about the art. We have several art galleries and programs. Others feel it's about the music. We have a music festival. And some people like me think it's more about the ghost or just maybe the bubble, the New Harmony vibe. People feel it as soon as they come to town. It's a relaxed, healing place, and you can come here and forget about the world, and it's a wonderful place to be. And so I think that really encouraged a lot of people to stick around after they died. They felt they were already at heaven on earth, and they didn't want to leave it. So I think that could have something to do with it, but I'm sure it goes much deeper than that.
That's a really interesting way of looking at it, and that's something we talk about quite a bit when folks pass on, as to why are they at the area that they're at. And just as when you're living, you try and be in an area that you'd be happy with. The same would be, I think, of the dead, and maybe you're onto something there. I think that makes a lot of sense. Of if they were happy there in life, I'd want to stick around too. That would seem to make some sense. Tell me about the town in detail. Let's start talking about some of the locations. What was the first location that you went to or had an experience at that you would deem paranormal in New Harmony?
Oh, sure. Well, when I first moved to town, I really kind of wanted to be a part of the town and be accepted. I didn't want to walk in and say, oh, I'm a paranormal investigator and author, and have them take a look at me in a different light. I wanted to be accepted as a person before I went into that, because not everybody is accepting of that avenue. And I didn't want them to think I was a crazy person. So I just kind of came in slowly and kept my eyes open. I really didn't talk to anybody about what I did. And as I walked around the town, I was just astounded by how beautiful all the buildings were and the architecture. New Harmony certainly puts its money back into its buildings instead of tearing them down. We have many buildings that were built in the 1800s by the first Utopian Society, and they still stand as a testament to what happened here. And I think that helps as well with the haunting. But it was hard for me to get inside a lot of these buildings because a lot of them were locked and only open for special events. Well, as I was walking along, I saw this store called the Arbor House, and it was an authentic 1830s house that was very similar to the construction of the Harmonist houses, and it was called the Arbor House. And I went in, the shop was open, and I thought, wow, this is great. I just really wasn't even thinking about ghosts. I was thinking about how beautiful the building was and wanting to see it. And as I walked in, all the lights were off, but the sign on the door said open. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. But I walked in anyways, and I looked around. I was the only one in the store. I didn't see a shop owner or anything. And I walked towards the back of the store, and there was another room that had a lot of Christmas items in it. And I was just kind of poking around looking, and all of a sudden I felt someone come up behind me. And the sensation was so strong, I really truly felt like I was going to turn around and find a living person there. But when I turned around, there was nobody there. And, well, nobody that I could see. And in my mind, I immediately got a mind picture, which I get sometimes, of a woman dressed in like 1800s period clothing, long, fairly plain dress. She had gray hair that was pulled back into a knot. And she had big black glasses on, almost Harry Potter glasses. And that was... it was important for me to know that the glasses, the round glasses. Well, as I stood there, I was like, oh, okay. And she was very warm and welcoming. She was almost like a shopkeeper there to welcome me, except for she was in ghost form. And I got two images in my mind. One was spinster and schoolmarm. And I thought, okay, that's curious. I didn't know what to make of it. But then she disappeared. So I continued back out the door. I decided I had enough. And as I walked out, as I got to the door, the lights flickered on. And I thought, okay, well, that was interesting. And when I got outside, the shopkeeper was actually sitting outside. She was having a cigarette under the arbor. And she's very warm. Her name is Barb. And she started chatting with me and asked me where I was from. And she asked me what I did, and I was like, well, you know, here it goes. I said, I'm an author. And she said, oh, what do you write? And any thoughts of keeping the paranormal out of the conversation ended right there. I told her, well, I'm a paranormal author. And her eyebrows kind of rose, and she smiled, and she goes, oh. And I thought, well, here goes nothing. I said, I met your ghost. And she laughed and smiled, and she said, which one? So at that point, the conversation became very open, and I was able to discuss with her what I had felt and what I thought was going on there. And she said, well, that is curious. And she went on to tell me that that building has been haunted since she bought it, probably before then, but she has had it for about 10 years, and she noticed the ghost there before she even bought the building. It's probably one of the reasons why she bought the building and opened her store there. And she said over the years, the ghost has been very active, but not in a negative way. She actually calls the ghost there the lady spirit of the house. The first thing that happened to her was one night she had been working all day painting the building, painting the inside of the building, and she went to bed. She was exhausted. As she lay down in bed, she heard a crash come from the bathroom. Well, most people would jump up and go see what it was, but not Barb. She's one of those no-nonsense, say-it-like-it-is people, and she yelled from her bed, "Leave me alone, I'm trying to sleep." And she gets up the next morning and discovers the reason for the sound. She had a metal bin on the back of her toilet that held toilet paper, and it had been carried into the center of the room, dumped out, and the bin dropped, and that was the bang. So after that, she began having more and more experiences. There was a Christmas tree she had set up with snowballs on it, and sometimes those would go launching across the room at customers when they were shopping. Other times, things would disappear and reappear. She once lost her keys for 6 months until they reappeared in the middle of her bedroom floor. And the other thing that happens are the lights. The ghost there likes to play with the light switch, which I found on my first visit to the store. And she said there was one girl that worked there in the evenings, and very often she would be sitting there by herself in the shop, and it's dark outside, and all the lights would turn off. And it would freak her out. She would run to the light switch and turn it on, and there was nothing wrong with the lights. There was no power surge or anything. They just went off, and that would happen pretty frequently to her, to the point where she eventually quit working there because she couldn't handle the stress of never knowing when the lights were going to go off on her. So after talking to Barb, I was really curious about the building and possibly who was haunting, especially after seeing that mind image of the woman and the two words schoolmarm and spinster. So I went to Working Men's Institute and I started pulling files and maps and reading as much as I could. And I'm pretty sure I found out who the ghost is. Her name was Nora Chadwick Fratasia. She was born in the house and she died in the house. She didn't marry until she was 29, which by that time period would have made her a spinster. And she ended up being the head librarian at Working Men's Institute. So that's not necessarily school marm, but it kind of follows into that realm. And I finally found a picture of her, and it was exactly what I saw in my mind, down to the round glasses. So it was kind of nice to be able to put a face with the ghost. And the owner still lives there. She's closed her shop. She retired. It's now just her home. But she still continues to live there with the ghost. She said she hasn't had as many experiences in past years. She said sometimes when she's singing along to the radio cut out. But she said, "I don't blame her. I can't sing." So... that's one of my favorites.
So once you had this interaction and you revealed to someone that this is what you do and this is what your interests are, how did that proceed with other folks in the town once they started to hear about your passion and in your books and your interests in the paranormal?
Well, I couldn't have been more surprised. If I was expecting some aversion to what I did, it didn't happen. People really embraced me, and they loved what I was doing. They loved the idea behind my books because I really didn't want to exploit New Harmony. What I wanted to do was help it. New Harmony relies heavily on tourism, and there really isn't any other industry here besides tourism, and it's spurned by the history. So people come to learn the history, they come for the antiques or whatever, but I really wanted to bring more people to the town, and I really felt that by highlighting it as by its paranormal nature would bring a different avenue of people to town, because it's such a wonderful town. I mean, nobody wants to see it kind of die off because people aren't visiting it anymore. So by bringing paranormal people or people that are interested in the paranormal to town, it adds another layer.
So you would say, I'm assuming that this is a town that very much embraces and understands the paranormal.
Yeah, to an extent that I really did not anticipate. A lot of people have stories that they've heard or experiences they've had. Well, you know, in a town this haunted, almost everybody's had some kind of experience in these buildings because it happens so frequently. Mm-hmm. Some people probably are afraid of it and maybe block it out and don't notice it, but there's so many more that have had experiences. So it was kind of, for them, it was a moment of reflection. It's about time, is what they said. They were really surprised that somebody hadn't done this before. Not long after that, I started doing ghost walks in town after I wrote my book and investigations of some of the historic buildings, bringing even more people to town. And so they see me walking around every Friday and Saturday night with groups of anywhere from 10 to 30 people talking about the history and the hauntings and some of the buildings and some of the businesses. And they love it because I'm bringing more people to New Harmony.
Sure. Tell me more about some of the other locations that you have investigated and had experiences at.
Well, perhaps the most haunted building in town is called the Fauntleroy Home. And as I was pursuing my book and deciding to write about it, I would ask people in town, do you know of any haunted locations that I should check out? And first on their list, first on everybody's list, was the Fauntleroy Home. It has quite the reputation. In fact, when I told you earlier that the first ghost story goes back to 1868, it happened at the Fauntleroy Home and was documented in a book called The Old Fauntleroy Home, which was written, I guess, in probably the late 1800s. And in that book, they talk about the ghost of the house passing the mistress of the house on the stairs one evening. So there's been a ghost there since at least 1868, probably even earlier. New Harmony, the state of Indiana owns the Fauntleroy Home, and they do tours there, historic tours. So people who have the most experience have been the tour guides. And there were many of them that shared experiences of doors slamming in their face, of feeling something rush past them. Several people were pushed on the stairs. And just a feeling of being watched constantly when they were in there. There were just so many experiences that they had. There were some tour guides that wouldn't even talk to me because they were fearful that whatever energy they encountered there would come after them if they discussed it. So I decided, okay, I'm definitely digging into this story. And I got a tour of the buildings. And my first time that I was there, I walked in with someone who had keys to the building but wasn't completely certain about placement of light switches. And it was getting dark. And we came in, and it was fairly dark in there. She said, let me go see if I can find the light switch. And I was standing at the base of the stairs just waiting for it. I didn't want to walk around and trip over something. And she came back after a few minutes and she said, I can't find the light switch. I don't know where it is. And all of a sudden, right overhead, right above me, bing, the light came on. And I thought, well, that was helpful. So I said, thank you. And that kind of started my intrigue with the building. So I started researching and I learned, several stories. I mean, the Fauntleroy Home is famous for a lot of things, but my favorite ghost story that or who I think haunts the building the most is a woman named Mary Emily Fauntleroy. She was a big fan of New Harmony, and when the house became available for purchase in the early 1900s, she bought it because it had been, she was a distant relative of the original Fauntleroy the house was named after, and she really wanted to open it up as a New Harmony tour site. And so she collected artifacts from all over the state and brought them in, set up a museum, and that was New Harmony's first tour site. So she would bring people in, charge them a small fee, and they'd walk around and look at everything that she had. And all was fine and well until the Depression hit, and she was having a hard time making ends meet. So the house ended up getting turned over to the state. But before it did, she was given the acknowledgement that she could stay there till she died and continue doing her tours and that nothing would change. But then the World War II broke out and the state ceased operations in all of their locations. So she was booted out, even though she was promised that she could stay. So she moved next door to where her brother lived and lived out the rest of her life there. But I guarantee the minute she died, she was back in that house. It's like, nobody can kick me out now. And the haunting really has been, you know, going on before that. So we know there's other ghosts there, but Mary Emily, we think, was the angriest because she was really upset about what happened to her. Mm-hmm. And then to make matters worse, about 10 years ago, they decided to do a complete renovation of the house. They removed her museum, every item. Some things were put into storage. Some things were sold. Some things were thrown away because they couldn't document where they came from properly. And they gutted the building down to the studs. And the building did need some work. It was not in good shape at that point. There were foundation issues and chimney issues and all kinds of things that needed to be fixed. But when they put it back together, they only put artifacts back in one room. And so the rest of the house sits empty at this point because they wanted to return it back to a specific time period. And so that's when the haunting really became angry. Just everybody was having a hard time being in that house. The woman that's in charge of the building who works for the state, named Amanda, stopped by. She was driving by on her golf cart one day, and she saw the door open. And she stopped because the door should never be left open to the historic building like that. And so she stopped and went in, and as she stood in the doorway, she could hear a conversation happening upstairs. And she thought, well, this is interesting because the tours are only on the first floor. So she went up and she looked, and there was nobody there. She searched the house from attic to basement and never saw anybody. Couldn't understand why the door had been open and why she was hearing people. So those are the kind of things that happen there constantly. When I started doing investigations in New Harmony, the Fontler House was high on my list. I definitely wanted to experience that. And we have had so many interesting things happen there. We were up on the second floor at one point, and all of a sudden we all smelled bread baking. It was so strong. It was so strong it made you hungry for bread. And then just all of a sudden the smell was gone. We'd hear footsteps, we'd hear voices. But probably the biggest thing that would happen was the alarm would go on. So we would be halfway through an investigation and all of a sudden we'd start hearing the alarm sounding. And so we'd have to stop, go turn off the alarm. And this happened every single time we investigated, but it never happens any other time. So it was like Mary Emily was finished with us. She had enough. Mm-hmm. And stopped our discussions. But we had a lot of communication with her on the spirit box. We asked her what she thought of the renovations, and she said, I hate them. But she said she did like me. She said, I like her. And I think that maybe the haunting has calmed down a little bit because her story is being told frequently. Every time I do my ghost walk, I walk by that building and I tell everybody about her injustices. And I just feel like she's inside going, yes, finally somebody's telling people. So that would be one of my favorite haunted houses in New Harmony.
With her anger that she lets to be known with some mischievous antics, for lack of a better term. Does it ever go any further than that? Is there ever anyone who just really feels this is, you know, this is too much for me with what she's doing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of people. I mean, they didn't know who it was. And mm-hmm. It could be other ghosts there as well. I mean, the house is haunted to the gills.
Sure.
You know, there was one, two tour guides were sitting on the stairs waiting for the next tour group to come to them. And all of a sudden, both of them felt hands in the middle of their back pushing them off the stairs. And it was enough that it made them rise from the stairs. Another tour guide heard the harp playing in the one room with furniture in it. And there was nobody there. The guy that lives next door often hears the piano playing in the middle of the night, and the piano's ancient. It hasn't been tuned in probably 70 years, but he could hear old gospel music coming from the Fauntleroy house in the middle of the night. So it's just insanely active, and I'm sure, yeah, I probably could have collected even more stories if I continued asking, but that chapter was getting so thick that I finally had to stop.
That wraps up part one of our interview with Joni Mahan about haunted New Harmony. In part two of our interview, we'll discuss the spirits that haunt Community House number 2 and what they want. The dark spirits that push people downstairs of a family home. The haunted theater and its basement, and what lurks in the darkness there. Also, the haunted gym that was once used as a makeshift morgue after a tornado ripped through a neighboring town, killing hundreds. Many took their last breaths in this building. Who is a little girl that haunts this structure today? Also, what does the future hold for haunted New Harmony? All that and more in part two of our interview. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.